the performance of the weekend. A statement win from the Warriors.
Mate, we copped an absolute bollocking over social media because we had the audacity to say that the Sharks shouldn't have a home semi-final because they don't hold enough in the stadium. Well, I think they need to worry about getting there first, mate.
Well, Steve, the Friday night game that we hoped would lead up to the hype, but massive blow for the Panthers. Isaiah Yeo out probably for the next 4 weeks, I reckon most likely this season. What else have we got today?
Mate, we dissect the game and just how good the Warriors were and talk about whether or not they rocket into favouritism. And I give the Sharks fans a little bit of feedback after the mighty red and white dominated them on the weekend.
Oh, mate, I'm looking forward to that. Also, we have got some unbelievable stats from Will Bedell, one that will blow the fans' minds away, and we'll also look at two of the contenders and why one is gone and the other is a massive chance based on that statistical analysis. We'll also have a bit of a chat about the Dolphins. Are they back? Well, we hoped the Friday game would live up to it. What a performance from the Warriors. We're going to come back to that. But is this the end of the season for the Panthers if Isaiah Yeo is out for the rest of the season, mate? What do you think?
Mate, this is going to be one monumental injury to get over. You know, people don't realise how Gio does for their attack. He takes a lot of pressure off Cleary. You know, he's so smart in the field. A lot of them, you know, a lot of the NRL clubs think of him as a coach out there playing against them. So he dissects the opposition, you know, second to none, and then implements that. You know, very rarely do we see a player in any position, especially in the forwards, that can pick and choose when to run or when to pass so well as what Yeo's done over the years. And he just adds a huge, you know, extra element to their attack. Like, it is truly phenomenal. If you look at the way he breaks down his attack inside his own half, he takes that hit up to make as much yards as most other middle forwards do. And then in the opposition 50, he starts ball playing, gives Cleary that extra width and the extra time. You know, a lot of the time it allows Cleary to sit back and pick and choose a little bit. So I can't overemphasise how much this is going to hurt the Penrith Panthers' chances this year. You know, there's talk that he may be back, to your point, in 4 to 6 weeks. I just can't see that being the case. Obviously, they've done the scans, etc., and we won't know. They won't tell the fans, unfortunately, which is disappointing. But I just can't see it happening, mate, that they get back. And this could well be the death blow to the Panthers' chance of winning the comp.
Yeah, absolutely. And the hits keep coming, but not for this year. But Brian Toe announced that he is the latest signing for the Chiefs. If Joey Manu signs, they're going to have the best back line in the competition. I think that's fair to say. But I'm with you, mate. I just can't see them. I can't see them getting across the line. The one thing that I will say, though, is that in that final 15 minutes, without Yeo there, at first it was like, oh, mate, they're not really creating anything. But then suddenly Cleary just went nuts and he was creating everything. It did make me wonder, is like, well, he has that ability just to grab games by the scruff of the neck. Why does he always wait till late? Do you reckon that's by design? And if he can put a bunch of games together where he's doing that, well, then there's still every chance because they just know how to win.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head two ways then, Hawk. I think the first one, and you see it in Origin as well, I think Cleary does that because of Yeo. I think there is no doubt the game plan early in the game is to let's get forward, let's tie the middles out, and Yeo plays a bit more of a ball player, a bit more control the middle of the ruck. And then as the middles get tied, they start sucking the edges in closer to help. And then Cleary does his best work, either running the ball himself or playing at the back. So I think that ties into the reason why Cleary waits till the back end. I think that's, you know, designed on purpose. Mm. And that'll obviously change. There's no doubt about it. I think this game, while Cleary certainly his back 20 was great, I think that's more of the Warriors. I think the Warriors knew they'd won and put it into neutral for the back 20. So I think the scoreline flattered the Panthers a little bit. But you hit the nail on the head around what the Panthers are going to do moving forward. So it's one thing to say Lindsay Smith will probably play lock. But if they try and play the same style with, while Lindsay Smith does have some ball playing ability, he's no Yo. There isn't another Yo, right? No. So they need to play more direct, and they need to get Cleary with the ball earlier in good field position. So they need to simplify their game plan for mine, play a really strong forward pack through the middle early, and then get Cleary on the front foot, and he has to touch the ball more. I think it's a really good, you know, coincidence that Cogger has now had a couple of games. I think that'll allow Cleary to be a little bit more confident in steering the team around the park, because Cogger's a little bit more structured than Talangi. I think if he had have had Talangi at six, losing Yo, it would have had an even bigger impact. So I expect, injury aside, that Cogger will play for the rest of the season in the six jersey. We'll see what happens for Team List Tuesday, obviously. But, yeah, for mine, you're exactly right. I think Cleary is out and out his team now, and they need to make sure they dominate in the middle, playing a simple game plan with the forwards, and then let Cleary do his thing out the back, mate.
Absolutely. My concern there is that the Warriors just bashed them. So do they still have the forward pack to do that? There's a couple of moments from Moses Leota where I can see why perhaps the Panthers, they'd obviously want to keep him, but defensively he got caught, like lateral movement, which starts to happen in older middles. And maybe he's just not having the same impact without his partner there, Fisher Harris. It was actually Jack Cole who came in because Cogger didn't travel with the team, which suggests that Blaise Talangi's next to no chance of coming back into that team when they had an opportunity to bring him straight back, and Cole goes in and does the job. So, that was obviously a significant loss at the last minute. But, yeah, it's concerning. I'm never going to write him off because we've done that to our embarrassment in the past. They will still be there or thereabouts. They just have too much class to not be. But, geez, it's a completely different picture than what we were looking at only a week ago.
Yeah, mate, and we'll obviously talk about it at Wednesday's show because it should be the absolute game of the round, rightfully so. But this weekend all of a sudden takes on a little bit more meaning for the Panthers. Their for and against is obviously far better than the Roosters, but the Warriors now are only 2 points behind them as well. So this game, not only for getting that 2 points and keeping that top two finish, but also for the fact that let's just see how they're going to play and what they're going to do without Yo. To your point, it's certainly not season over for them, but I think it's going to be an uphill challenge now. And certainly if they don't get Mitch Kenny and Dylan Edwards back with a couple of weeks before the semis to give them a bit of footy, shit, mate, it's going to be very difficult and a completely different viewpoint for the way this is going to finish for mine.
Oh, absolutely. I will say this, though. Obviously, there's no one replacing Dylan Edwards, but, mate, that Jason Edgar, just the production line continues.
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it?
He looks like a serious talent.
Yeah.
If you think about
very similar to Edwards as well. Yeah, so he's been a very, very good replacement for them. And a little bit more football, he could certainly be a regular first grader at another club, mate, no question.
Absolutely. And if you think about, they had Iongi in there as well. It's, again, just a production line.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%, mate. We talk about Blaise Talangi. He's played some fullback as well over the time. He's been a very good replacement for Edwards, and I can't see any reason why you'd change it. It certainly wasn't his fault they didn't win against the Warriors on the weekend.
No. He's tough. He's fast. He's talented. He just backs himself for a kid with a handful of first grade games. It's pretty impressive. Now, this is the part. This is the only reason you turned up for the podcast today, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Dragons. Wow.
The Dragons. Yeah, I'm more impressed with the Sharks' loss, mate. We copped an absolute bollocking over social media because we had the audacity to say that the Sharks shouldn't have a home semi-final because they don't hold enough in the stadium. Well, I think they need to worry about getting there first, mate. It was they genuinely, their forward pack got dominated by a bunch of kids is the bottom line. You know, we've all talked up the Dragons forward pack, and there's no doubt there's potential and future rep players. But they simply dominated them. They didn't give Cronulla a chance in the middle. And then Cronulla for mine just weren't good enough. Regardless of what St. George did, Cronulla were very poor. So, you know, they'd been riding away for quite a while. So we do have to take that into account. But with respect to Cronulla, if St. George is scoring 24 points against them, then, you know, when they come up against the top four sides that have got plenty of points in them, their defence is in strife, mate. I thought their forward pack didn't do enough. You know, admittedly, Fenua Blake went to the bin at one stage of the game, no question. And our back five did a little bit better than they have been doing as far as gaining some metres. You know, Gutho was up over 200. But reality being, Cronulla should have put us to the sword and put us to the sword quite comfortably. And they just simply weren't up to the task, mate.
Agree. Now, I've certainly changed my tune on the Sharks. I actually think it's not that as big a problem for the Sharks. They were clearly flat, down on energy. Fitzy said it in the press conference. He said they asked him whether it's the loss they needed to have, and he said, well, I'm not going to say yes to that, but I will tell you one thing, is that it'll be much easier to get the team up this week after a loss than it would have been after a win. So teams have these ups and downs. You'd much rather have it now than first or second week of the finals. I just think it puts them in an even better position because they've been on a run. It gets that loss out of the way. People can stop talking about it. And they were pretty bad and still only just lost because the Dragons scored late to cement the win, but it was 2 points and they could easily, with a few things going their way, could have won. So, yeah, I think it's not all panic stations for the Sharks at all. And, yeah, I think we will come to what was good about the Dragons. But, yeah, if I'm a fan, I'm obviously disappointed. But as a neutral, I'm like, yeah, no, I think it'll be business as usual next week and they'll be back into it. The bit that hurts for me is that took them in the eliminator on the back of your lock of the week. It was too much weight for them to carry with me on their back.
It was. Yeah, look, no question, it would have been hard for them to continue the roll on. And then to your point, another three games into the semis, right? So chances are they were going to win a game. I just thought they were really poor in the forwards. So Britton Okora was the only one to run over 100 metres. And again, against a bunch of kids, you know, the Cronulla forward pack is one that's been well talked up. But if that's what they're going to dish up against the Dragons, you know, the Panthers, the Roosters, the Warriors forward pack will absolutely eat them for breakfast. So I'm happy for you to chalk it up as a bad day. I'm starting to lean towards the fact that this is another season that the Sharks have delivered offered so much and they could find themselves out the back door very quickly come September.
Yeah, I will agree with this, that the Dragons, it was a young pack, but, mate, Hamish Stewart, that was like a breakout game, and I love what Dean Young said in the press conference afterwards. He said he wouldn't be surprised if Kevy picks him for the Australian team. He was that good. Like, we've talked these guys up all year, but that was like a next-level performance. And then, without his brother there, Ryan Couchman, if you don't mind, racks up 66 tackles with only two misses, and add to that 153 metres with 62 post-contact. Like, these guys are young, but they're not kids anymore. Like, these guys are going to the next level. And you look at Pacifica Tonga, also big metres, and Gutho turned the clock back. I don't think he made an error. Oh, no, he did make one error at the start. But apart from that, he was solid again. Maybe he's found a bit of fitness because he was up and about. Like you said, he had heaps of meters. Yep. It was a pretty impressive performance for the Dragons. And like I text you on Friday night, what if you have the premiership halfback head into your club next year? We'll get to the Warriors, but, mate, wow. You must have been excited by that performance from Luke McCarthy.
Yeah, there was plenty of texts going on between the Dragons fans and myself. We were up and about to see him play the way he did. So, yeah, we'll certainly talk about him with the Warriors. He was excellent. Just to go back to you with the Kevy Walters with the World Cup, I think it'd be a big leap for them. They're obviously not going to play any semi-final football, and they're young. They've all played, you know, big minutes and big games this season. But I think you're right, especially you know, Stewart and the two Couchmans. I think if they were in a grand final team this year, you know, if they were playing for the Roosters or the Warriors and they made the grand final, I think they would be an absolute red hot cracker making it. And I think it's only a matter of time for them all. You know, you can throw Hamish Stewart. You can throw Dylan Egan in there as well. If you look at Dylan Egan's stats, they're no worse off Stewart or the Couchmans. Like he's been doing exceptionally well on the other side of the park as well. So there's no doubt that they've got a future rep jerseys in front of them. You know, Loka Pacifica Tonga, I'm not sure what international team he's pledged his allegiance to, but he could quite easily find himself in a World Cup jersey as well. So you're spot on, mate. It's certainly good to wake up having a win after only having a couple of year, but to beat the Sharks, especially after the feedback they gave us a couple of weeks ago, I was very happy waking up this morning, mate.
I bet you were. And I bet you there were plenty of people walking around the southern parts of Sydney who were walking a bit taller as well. The other one I wanted to mention was, like in King Tonga, Young's put faith in him when Atkinson just wasn't performing at the level required. He's obviously done a fair bit of work on his defence, which was one of his challenges. But his confidence with the ball, suddenly the Dragons look like a creative team, and a lot of it's coming off the back of him.
Yeah, certainly the knock on him was his defence, right? That was the reason he wasn't playing first grade as it was. His attack has always been, his strong point. He's been electric with the ball. But he's gone back and he's worked on his defence. I think the Atkinson, I think there's a little bit in that around next year. I think the Dragons have put a red line through him at the moment, and I think if they could offload him, that they probably would. So I don't know what's happening behind closed doors, but I don't think if they, you know, we talk about Metcalf in a moment, but if they put their top 17 on the board at the moment for next year, I don't think he makes it. And he's obviously got a lot of money going into his bank account at the end of each week. So I think there's a bit of that to it, but certainly, mate, King Tongi has taken his opportunity. And to your point, he's held his own in defence, but with the ball, he's been just really creative. And that's something that the Dragons just simply haven't had all season. And they've only scored 320 points, which is, obviously league low. So, you can't see him getting dropped for the rest of the year. We've got the Tigers and Para, which certainly you can't chalk up as wins because they've only won three games all year. But you like their chances to at least compete hard. So you'd think he'll play out this season in first grade, mate, and hopefully finishes off well for himself and the Drags.
Yeah, and if you get the Tigers and the Eels, who both have had matches where they just have completed very, very low, they'll put them away because that's something the Dragons have been able to do for most of the year. The Sharks, they fell into that trap that we've talked about many times with them over the last few years, is the halves just started drifting sideways, running out of room, getting bundled into touch. Now, off the back end of a forward pack not going forward, but it is amazing how quickly those old habits return when things aren't going well.
100%, mate. And you look back at the Sharks, losses this year, you know, the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Roosters, they're against the forward packs that have a go. You know, they're the forward packs that are the best in the comp. And while I'm not saying the Dragons are at that level at the moment, it's quite clear that the Dragons got a full pack that are hard workers and make sure they turn up and have a dig. And when Cronulla come up against that in the forward pack, traditionally they haven't fought back and they haven't dominated. And that's what happened on the weekend. So, you know, they've got the Raiders who have had a very, very mixed season, to put it politely, this weekend. But on the back of Ricky's press conference, I'm sure the forward pack for the Raiders will be very pumped and ready to go. So if the Sharks don't turn up and the forward pack from the Raiders get on top of them, I'd hate to see them lose two in a row like this, because the Dolphins and the Knights are, you know, right on their heels, mate. And if they don't finish in the top four, which I think they will, they've got a very, very easy run home. But if they don't finish in the top four, then you got to say that the season's been a bit of a failure, because I can't see them going on a run against those top teams at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't want to be playing them next week because I think they'll come out and have a massive bounce back. All right. The performance of the weekend. A statement win from the Warriors. Mm. Now, not with the bookmakers, but from that performance, that just about puts them as premiership favourites for mine. I know it's only one match, but wow, that first half, they completely dominated a team that's been the benchmark for the last 5-6 years.
110%, mate. From the opening whistle, you saw one hell of a ceremony to start Indigenous round. That would give you, absolute tingles up the spine. That was, it was some version of a haka, obviously, but for me, that was as good as I've seen. All Blacks and Kiwis combined, that was absolutely spine-tingling. To see them do that, and then they come out and they played like that. Aaron Clark and Fisher Harris, that first 15, 20 minutes just absolutely blew Panthers off the park, and they simply couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
It was 24-0 just after half time. And as I said, I think the scoreline flattered Penrith a little bit. They got those two late tries. Cleary ran the ball, and then to your point, Edgas got over a bit of a missed tackle out wide in the centres. He scored that try. But I think that was when the Warriors had clocked off. They knew they'd done the damage. They knew they'd won the game. One hell of a performance. They were completely and utterly dominant in the forward pack. And then once again, these huge athletes that they've got out wide just did the job for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this, though, as good as Leke Halasima was with his 240-odd metres, he got caught out in defence a couple of times. Now, a few of our fans on the socials have made comments, and I think this was a Warriors fan, one of them, saying that we're a couple of centres short. I was kind of like, not sure about that. But defensively, yeah, he got found out. He's got four missed tackles. A couple of them were poor attempts at best. Mm. And it's not like they were defending for long periods of time. They were actually dominant and doing most of the attacking. So they had more sets with the ball. But, yeah, that is a worrying sign for them. And they've got the other young fella in the other centre. Yeah. It's just to think some of the big names that they've got out injured as well. Wow, they are looking very good.
Yeah, I guess that's the centres they've got. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Halasimi and Ali, they're both back rowers, right? They're both 6'3", 6'4", 100, 105 kilos. They're monster men. So the flip side to them carrying the ball the way they do, having that impact they have close to the line, scoring tries, and then putting their halves and the opposition under pressure. The flip side of that is they're not as quick laterally in defence. So when they come up against an Isaac Tungo type, or when we've got a fullback swinging at the back hitting them, they're going to unfortunately give up at the occasional try. That's just going to be a trade-off to what they deliver for you with size across the park and defence. So I think you're going to continue to see that. There's no doubt, especially when you look at Metcalf, Chanel, Harris, DeVita. They're not monsters of halves either. So if you can get one of those smaller halves up against a slower centre, then that's probably where your fullback's going to be targeting. That's where certainly Edgar scored his try as well. So that's going to be the target for the opposition. But when they offer you so much with the ball, so much in attack, even just constantly running at Jack Cole and running at Cleary like they did, making them make tackles all day, mate, I wouldn't be trading. I wouldn't be trading for either of them. I'd be holding on to them, and I'd be expecting them to be there on grand final day doing damage like they've done all year, the pair of them.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got a real, in their outside backs, a real production lot as well. They're turning into Penrith, Phil Gould's hands all over the pathway system, and that's proving to be beneficial now. And if you look at their fullback, Nickel Clogstar's run nearly 200 metres. He's almost third choice. They got Tua Picky. They had Roger Tuashek there as well, who's out injured, obviously. And then they can just slot him straight back in. And those two young men in the centres, it's the envy of a whole lot of other teams is these top teams who have just got this production line of talent. Unbelievable. But I'd like, just from a personal perspective, like enjoying watching my footy, and as a neutral, man, I haven't enjoyed a half a footy like that in a long time. Like, yeah. what a performance. It was brutality, and to see them do it over, like I said before, the benchmark of the competition for the last 6 years, super impressive.
Yeah, it really was, mate. And then you look at actually the breakdown, which I've only just looked at now. Their medals haven't really been chewed up. You know, Fisher Harris, 57, Mitch Barnett, 52, Aaron Clark, who's just continues to dominate, 44 minutes. Mm. And they got a fair bit of minutes into Tennis Dower Smith. And I will just say Eddie, because that last name's going to slip me up. Apologies. But they got 37 and 47 minutes into them. So it's not like they've gone out and burnt Fisher Harris and burnt Aaron Clark to get the win. They've actually continued on their normal front row rotation. So that's huge signs for them and continued to back end of the season. And I said it before and I'll say it again, if the Warriors finish in the top two, I cannot see them missing out on grand final day. Whether they win it or not will remain to be seen. But if they can finish in the top two, and when you consider after this week that they will be equal second if they get the win over the Broncos, which they should, then all roads will have to go through Auckland to get to grand final day. And I can't see them losing at home, mate. I just think that crowd and the atmosphere and the buzz around Auckland will just be like an extra player on the field, mate. And I can't see them not making it with the condition that they finish in the top two.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. It was great to see Luke Metcalf back and performing. Obviously, well, you can see by his reaction that it was pretty important for him. Interestingly, Andrew Webster said he's not going to make a call on who's going to play halfback. So there's still every chance that Tamari Martin comes back in. But to me, like, with a performance like that, yes, it's only one game, but he just showed his class. And to me, I'd be just slotting him straight back in and having that, the advantage of that depth. Now, it's one thing to say that the two guys who have played in the halves have just done the job and they've played to the game plan, but having that X factor in there that brings something different and has that level of creativity. Like, the try he scored coming back through traffic under the post, like, he obviously trusting his body again. To have that courage to come through the front door like that, mate, get him in there. What a performance.
Yeah, Webster's shown his hand before around if someone's out injured, they're going to earn their spot back in the side, which in theory is what happened to Metcalf in the first place. You know, we've seen the fullbacks, to your point earlier, they've had a number of different fullbacks because if they get injured, you've got to go back and play New South Wales Cup and earn your spot again, which is really old school, you know, mentality, which again is another, for me, huge tick for Webster. Just the way he goes about it. You know, if you're going to play first grade for the Warriors, you've earned that jersey and you're ready to go. The big things for me, he took over all the kicking. He kicked 18 times for over 500 metres and the rest of the team combined for 7 kicks. So it was a huge responsibility. He just dove straight in. He's 6 runs for 4 tackle breaks, to your point, 2 tries. Like, it wasn't I'm going to dip my toe back in the water. It was, give me the steering wheel. Let's get behind these big forwards going forward and let's dominate and run the ball from there. So from a Warriors fan, I don't think it can go wrong either way, but I'd probably lob on Metcalf. He just gives that little bit extra. It certainly wouldn't mean Tamari Martin misses out. I think he'd be somewhere in the 19. He may not get a game every week, but I think I'd have him in the side because he covers off so many positions. But for me, I'd be sticking with Metcalf through the year, mate.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it was really great to see his teammates get around him. He's obviously a popular member of the group. They're well connected. That's also good signs for the Dragons. Interesting. Dragons played little for the 80 minutes. And
name? Cookie
just didn't get on, yeah.
Pardon me. Yeah, it was certainly an interesting one. Well, obviously, next year, Connor Watson will be coming along. I don't know whether the coach's son from Flanagan. I don't know whether Flanagan's going to make the side, but if he does, it'll be similar to Watson, another, you know, number 14. So it'll be interesting to see what their plan is with Little moving forward. If they're going to play him 80 minutes now, then is that something that they're going to look at for next year and really keep Watson for that 13 role or not? So, yeah, interesting signs for what Young might do, but there's no doubt he's full steam ahead. He wants to win every game this year, but he's full steam ahead planning for next year, mate. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the Warriors, the groundswell of support they're getting. It sounds like that there is a big push now that they've – the story is that from 2029, the agreement with the broadcasters is if they don't have an extra game, which means 20 teams – if they don't have an extra game, then they'll be fined $10 million a season or something like that. Wow. So it's in their best interest to get that 20th team. Yep. And given what's happening in New Zealand with the Waz, it looks like the Orcas are the absolute raging favourites to take that last spot. And who could argue? Like, let's get on board with the popularity of NRL in New Zealand at the moment while the All Blacks aren't dominating as much as they were, and let's get another team in there. And what we talked about this last week, like from creating that sort of competition for the Pacific, add on that the talk of global round, mate, it's exciting times for NRL.
Yeah. Yeah, look, no question for me, the Southern Island of New Zealand's the go. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Western Brisbane corridor. For me, I don't see it happening as far as people travelling from Brisbane out to Ipswich and further. Obviously, the diehard fans will do it. And the population, while it's growing out there, I don't think it's enough to be able to fully sustain an NRL club straight off the bat, right? The NRL can't afford to bring a club in, especially if the Bears are going to get off to a slow start without them dominating. And we spoke about it again a couple of weeks ago around the Warriors fans. The biggest pat on the back for them is that they look like New Zealand's going to get another team because they just go and support their team so far, so well. So I don't know enough about New Zealand itself to make sure the Southern Island's going to support NRL as much as the Warriors get supported. Obviously, there'd be a lot of people living in the South Island that would be absolute diehard Warriors fans. So whether they'd be willing to you know, swap teams and support the new local side, it'd need to be discussed. But you've certainly seen it here in Brisbane where the Dolphins have increased their fan base quite considerably and taken, you know, not that the Broncos are losing sleep over it, but taking a number of fans off the Broncos. So, yeah, for me, mate, all roads point to the New Zealand having a second team.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned the Bears. We'll just touch on that briefly. The Morgan Smithy signing confirmed that they unveiled their jersey, which looked fantastic. Their old, my old school colours and red and black. Yeah, it's a good look. I liked it a lot. And continuing to build, they've also got some more advantage from the NRL, giving them the ability to pay their marquee player if they can get one a little bit more, which perhaps opens a door for Munster or someone like that. Because there's going to be players who maybe see themselves as a chance to go to the Chiefs who are going to miss out, because if there's a whole lot of good players wanting to go there, they can't all go there. And Michael Chamis has been clear on that. He said, we're going to wait. You know, Munster wanted to go there, but we can't make a commitment to him at this point because we're going to see who else is available come November 1. And we're talking at the moment, Cleary, Walker, and a couple others that escape me at the moment. But the Bears may yet get someone that falls out of a tree. Now, before we move on to the Dolphins, we want to we'll get Will on now to talk some absolutely incredible stats. So we'll go to that now. Welcome back, Will.
Thanks, boys. How are you going?
Good, mate. You?
Yeah, good. Good, thank you. Good, thank you. Looking forward to another week.
Good man. Now, the Broncos season has been well and truly put to bed, but you're going to put a nice bow on it with a stat here, mate. What do you got?
Sorry, Madge. I've got one more for you. So obviously, as we all know, you know, their season's over now, and officially, and that's obviously coming from the from the coach as well. Just a couple of interesting things I found. One particular interesting, I'll just go over a few things first. So they used 33 players, or they've used them 33 players in this year so far. That's been the equal most in 5 years. They also used 33 in 2022. So that's obviously tested their depth, which will tie into a couple of my other angles in a minute. Surprisingly, one of the stats I was having a look at in regards to them was the amount of meters they make in a game. And I'm sure you would both assume that with arguably one of the best front rows in the comp, that they would be high up on that stat. I'm sure you'd be extremely surprised to see that they're actually ranked 17th for meters made.
What? Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy stat. And I also had a look at, because I've been of the opinion, and the facts will back this up, and I think that this has been ties into a little bit of the arrogance we spoke about on a couple of earlier pods. But if we go from rounds 10 to 23 of 25 and 26, they were 16th and 17th, respectively, in that particular stat.
Wow. That says everything.
So they for some reason, they have really struggled to make meters with Payne Haas in their side. I mean, that's just crazy to think, you know, that's even possible. And during that period as well, or at least after 13 rounds of both years, they were 11th. Now, my point around that is they obviously haven't learned anything from 2025. The narrative around, you know, people like us and then people that are more in the know inside the clubs all believe that at the end of the day, they just caught fire at the right time of year. You know, I think that's the general narrative, and those numbers certainly back that up. They actually haven't learned anything from 2025. They were in exactly the same spot this year, but as everyone, you know, the cliche has been, you know, can lightning strike twice? Well, no, it hasn't.
Yeah, right. The other thing that comes to mind is that, yes, their forward packs obviously let them down, but their back five, that they obviously have not done the job, because the best teams in the comp have a back five that make 100 metres plus each.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's really interesting.
And you look at the wingers they have, as you said, Hawk, you know, Mariner and Carapani. I mean, they were, you know, at times they've been unstoppable. You know, and yeah, it's obviously Shibasaki's, you know, had an off year compared to last year. And, you know, Staggs always has this about him where he's in and out of, in and out of games, but he's in and out of periods of the season too. And that's, it just shows just a real, I was quite surprised when I, you know, when I noticed that stat myself. For a couple of other ones that, again, it's going to get your eyebrows to raise, but they were also ranked last for tackle breaks and offloads.
Wow.
And again, like, look at their forward pack, you know, that cannot be right. Like, that just cannot happen. It just doesn't jive with reality.
And you look at Payne Haas really seemed to develop an offload this year. So further indictment on the rest of the team. I mean, I don't know if that equates to Broncos games, but certainly in Origin, he was creating second phase like I hadn't remembered seeing him do in previous years, but maybe he was only in a blue jersey.
Well, I guess one of the general consensuses or the general theories around, you know, no tackle breaks can lead to no support. So, like, no one's supporting the ball carrier to take, you know, like, a couple of them flies off in terms of our defenders, you know, and maybe a power issue in terms of how they're carrying the ball as well. Can they actually poke their nose through the line? Are they being conservative and just looking for a quick play of the ball, you know, a quick play of the ball and just go off the next ruck? I mean, we don't know. And then in terms of the offloads, you know, the offloads, I think, you know, could definitely be a negative mindset, which would sort of feed into the narrative of where they were in the season and how they were struggling. When you're struggling and you're losing, you tend to tighten up and you just concentrate on high completions, kicking to a corner.
Hmm.
And that doesn't exactly lend itself to throwing the ball around. So, you know, there's a lot of little 1%ers there that are sort of tying into each other.
Yeah, if you look at quicker play the balls, you'd think that then they would have at least an increase in metres off the back of quick play the balls. But if that's the direction they were heading, that's not even been effective either. Steve, thoughts?
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack there, mate. You know, you look at the stats from the Dolphins game. Billy Walters had an offload and Pat Carrigan had an offload. That was it for the entire game between the forward pack. And while Billy Walters obviously is a hook and had an outstanding game, you can't take him into account when you're talking about forward offloads. You know, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Hawk, and I sort of raised an eyebrow at the time because I hadn't really thought about it. But, you know, Pat Carrigan's always had Payne Haas there next to him, taking that first hit up, and you questioned what he'd be like without Payne Haas. You know, if their stats were already like this with Haas in the side, with due respect to Barnett coming next year and the possibility of Horsburgh not far off, neither of them are anything on Payne Haas. So there needs to be a big dissection of what they're doing in the forward pack and how they're doing it, not only with offloads but hit-ups, you know, even post-contact meters. I'm just looking at the stats from the Dolphins game at the moment, and it's not pleasant reading considering that they were absolutely dominant for the first 25 to 30 minutes. So bloody interesting and something that they're going to need to look at and get their head across really quickly, because if they're not going forward, it's almost impossible for Reece Walsh to be able to do what he does out the back. And it's a little wonder he hasn't had the impact this year when you hear those stats.
Yeah, forget Reece Walsh. They're going to have two rookie halves. They're going to have Pezzett coming, although if he can ever get on the pitch, or Duffy playing at halfback, mate. If their forward pack's just getting beaten up, it's not going to be really the right environment for either of those two guys to thrive.
Yeah, I will give them one shining light. I try to always, you know, have a little bit of a shining light moment, but I actually think this might sound a bit crazy, but I actually think the loss of Haas and Reynolds in particular is going to force them to actually change the way they play. I think it's actually going to, you know, make them think about, okay, well, we can't rely on Payne anymore, so everybody else has got to basically pick up the slack. I think Mitch Barnett coming in, you've also got Sean Blaw as well, who'll add a bit more on an edge. I think, and then the two young halves, I mean, you know, with all our respect to Adam, I mean, he couldn't even get through a game at the end of last year, you know, and he just couldn't get through any games in this year. So, you know, at least they're going to have halves who can play 80 minutes every week consistently going forward. So, you know,
potentially.
Yeah. Well, I think I just think they'll, you know, like they'll have healthier bodies, you know, at least in the halves, they'll have some youth, you know, like they'll have some exuberance, you know, and as I said, like they're going to get through. Yes, they'll miss experience, but, you know, like I think that might also bring Reece into the game a bit more in regards to potentially with an 80 minute mindset. As opposed to, you know, okay, look, I've got them 20 minutes here to turn the game, because, I think that fits into the arrogant mindset that I've spoken about, you know, just expecting that it's going to happen. Well, you know, it obviously hasn't. And I think those are a couple of examples as to why.
Fascinating. Did you say you had some other stuff on the Bronx as well?
No, that was the last one in regards to
the silver lining.
Yeah,
mate. That is a cracker, and I don't think if you'd asked any fan, their thoughts on that they would have. No one would have guessed that. That's crazy. Wow.
I certainly never expected it. You know, and I'm working this industry every day. You know, and I never anticipated that. I did anticipate that there was a correlation. And I had to find exactly where it was, and it was round 13, where they were 11th on the table in both years. And then obviously we know what happened last year. This year that didn't happen. And those were a couple of the, well, those are a couple of the reasons why, I believe.
Yeah, spot on. Okay. A couple of top eight teams now. You've got a bit on the Book of Feuds teams.
Yes. Yes, I have. I'll start with South. There was a, as we know, they're probably going to finish, if they make the eight, like they will finish in the bottom half of the eight. Mm-hmm. And I was just having a look at some stats, and they naturally, if they're going to finish in the bottom half of the eight, they're going to have to win four straight games in order to win the comp. And they haven't been able to do that this year, unfortunately for them. Yeah, so that's something there to dissect in regards to, you know, I guess whether or not they can, you know, go to that next level.
Well, you mentioned Katoni Stagg saying he drifts in and out of games and also parts of the season. I think South have been guilty of that as well. No better example of that than Saturday night. Like, yeah. I literally turned off the TV at halftime because I'm like, I just can't put myself – like, I don't turn the TV off, but I make myself watch it, but, oh, mate, I couldn't cope. And then to have a look at the scoreboard half an hour later and they've fallen in a hole, that's just a snapshot of their season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly up and down. You know, the one period, there was a period there earlier in the year, they won four out of five, so they went two wins, a loss, and then another two wins.
Hmm.
Two wins have been their biggest stuff streak all year. so they went in that period, they were four wins out of five. Their loss was against Canberra in Perth, which was that high scoring game, which I think they led there for a period of
they did, yeah,
of the game. So it's not beyond them. And I think with Latrell potentially coming back, hopefully on this week against the Dogs, I mean he could be the catalyst. If there's going to be a team and an individual that could get the four in a row, I wouldn't put it past the Bunnies. So, you know, that's an interesting little side note there.
Thoughts on that, Steve?
Yeah, I think obviously the four in a row is going to be a big one. We still haven't seen someone win it from the bottom half of the eight. But then when you talk South, they're going to have to win at least two of their last four to make it. Their last four. And they come up against the Bulldogs, the Warriors, the Roosters, and the Titans up here on the Gold Coast. So those three teams are going to be extremely hard to beat. And on their own home deck on a Saturday afternoon, the Titans can turn up and put on a good performance. So not only would they have to win the four straight, but they're going to have to start playing a lot better football than they are right now. And then when you consider their away records 3-7, they're not going to get a home semi at all. So they're going to have to go on the road to make this happen. And when you look at, obviously, the Warriors, the Dolphins, the Knights, potentially the Cowboys, there are some decent hard road trips coming up in front of the Rabbitohs. So, look, mate, they're going to do it hard to actually make it. And then if they do, I, unfortunately, for this season, Latrell is the only thing, to Will's point, that could help them. But they potentially could be cannon fodder, even if they do make it with the run that they've got coming up.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at the two teams that are more than likely going to finish fifths and sixths, it's Dolphins and Knights, who are hitting a bit of form and, yeah, it could be an early exit. It's interesting watching teams being a bit more cagey with injuries and particularly longer-term ones. We're not getting straight-out responses about when they're going to come back. Like Latrell was like out for the season. Maybe he's back this week. Bennett says in the press conference, so you'll have to ask him. I don't know if I believe he actually will be back this week. Like, I won't believe it until I see it. Even with Penrith now with Yeo, oh, we're hoping to be back for first week of finals. Well, everyone's saying if it's a torn pec, like, it's never been done before, someone not getting surgery, and it seems like something that's not realistic. So, seems to be a change of tune for some teams.
Yeah, I've probably got one more there on Seahawks, which is not good for Seahawks fans. So try to get your head around this one. In terms of our turnaround times in between games, so in their next four upcoming games, they go from a 6 to an 8 to a 7 to a 6-day turnaround, okay? So having a look at the combination of those and turnarounds over the past 3 years, they've got a 33% win rate in that configuration. Funnily enough, and I don't know if this is an age thing, sometimes it tends to be, their best turnaround times is obviously the longer the better.
Mm.
Now that could be, you know, it could be an age thing. It could just be one of those things about who they play, whether it's on the road or on whatnot. But but the period of turnaround times they have coming up is their worst historically, at least for the last couple of years.
Mm. That would make sense, particularly guys like Cody who are often nursing niggles. So really interesting. Are we going to dive in there, Steve?
Oh, just on pure stats, and I love that stat. That's pretty cool to hear. On that stat, they don't make the top eight is the bottom line. They've got to win two out of their last four. They've got to hit 50% strike rate for them to make the eight, making sure that their for and against are still there. And if they're only at 33% over that configuration, then it's not going to happen for them. So very, very interesting to see if you're a Bunnies fan. You really want to see this win against the Bulldogs this weekend, or she's going to be all over for them on Will's stats there.
Absolutely. And to make matters worse for the Bunnies fans, you've got a positive one for the Roosters.
Yes. So a couple of things here for the Roosters. Over the years, and this is going back a number of years, one of the things about the Roosters has always been, and this has been their, you know, their high risk, high reward style of footy. When it comes off, we can now say they put 80 on teams. But when it doesn't, their completion rates have been their Achilles heel, and especially at the back end of the year in big games. And their completion rates can dead set become horrendous, like even in the 50%. So I was having a look at some stats in regards to the configuration, in regards to completion rates under 70% over the past 2 years. So in 2025, they completed less than 70% on 8 occasions, and they won only one of those games. This year, they have completed less than 70% on only 2 occasions. Now, they haven't won any of those games, which is consistent with what we're saying about how important completion rate is to them. But the fact of the matter is they've actually brought it down from 8 games last year to only 2 games so far this year. And the last stat that ties into that one is they have the most amount of wins when not leading at halftime. So their mentality of getting through the 80 minutes is actually a lot stronger and a lot tougher.
Yeah, wow. That is really interesting, because not only that's that, but I think there was something last year how they were one of the most penalised teams in the competition as well. So they were putting themselves behind the eight ball consistently at both ends of the pitch. And it is interesting to see that where they finished and the momentum they're hitting, and they've certainly tidied up their completion rate. That is really interesting, Will. I like that one. Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly paints a picture on how the Roosters are performing. Obviously, Reece Robson at 9's a little bit more of a steady hand, and DCE, wherever you lob on him as a player, he's obviously very experienced and very a calm head out there. So another 12 months under Walker's belt, you can start to see that even in the times where they're not putting themselves with great completion rates, they're still getting the win. So very interesting. The big one for me out of there from Will is the Roosters coming back in the second half. So, you know, that goes to show what they're like. You saw the Broncos last year do that and come over the top of teams. That's semi-final mentality, that you don't give up till the final whistle. So very interesting run home for the Roosters. And then obviously they will certainly be in the top four to finish off. So could be blue skies ahead for Roosters fans.
Yeah, it's a good point, Steve, because even if we go back to their last game and their last game only, I mean, that was the perfect configuration. They have led at halftime on 10 occasions in this year, and they have won every single one of them. But against the Dogs, as we know, like they were, you know, like they basically came home late there, you know, and they had to win that one So you know, it was a very late win. It was a get out of jail win. But your point, they just did it at the death, and it was a great win in the end for them.
Sure was. Well, mate, you've had some other stuff on the last few weeks, but that was well worth the wait because there's some absolute belters there, and I reckon the listeners and viewers are going to love that, particularly the Broncos stat. That's crazy, mate. So well done.
Yeah, it's mental.
Cheers, Will.
No worries, guys. Thanks. Have a good week.
Too, mate.
Thank you.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? The Broncos. I can't. I mean, obviously true, but I'm staggered by the fact that they are 17th for run meters.
Yeah, it really puts it in perspective what they've done, you know. And as I said then with Will, it's put Walsh under a hell of a lot of pressure. It's put the halves under pressure. So they need to have a good hard think about what's going to come next year, because obviously Willison's going to get a little bit of help with Barnett and potentially Horsburgh, but they're going to need to bring someone through very, very quickly, or they're going to find themselves down the bottom end of the ladder again next year, mate.
Mm-hmm. Now, their season was officially put to bed, and we won't go too far into that. They came out all guns blazing to start that match. But the Dolphins get home and celebrate their first ever final series locked in. Pretty impressive for this new team, to the growth that they've had over this three-year period.
Yeah, what a team, mate. We spoke about them at length over the Origin period. They had 7 or 8 Origin players picked this season, which was the most out of any club. Just a huge effort considering, you know, someone sat there and put this team together only 3 or 4 years ago. And then when you saw the team they put on the park without those Origin players, and that was even more impressive. You know, obviously the Farnsworths and the Izzy Katoas and the Nicaremas, et cetera, that Marshall Kings that weren't around at Origin that are still absolute world class. So, look, hats off to them. It is an amazing effort. It'll be interesting to see where they finish. Obviously, we spoke earlier around the Sharks, just giving them that little sniff of jumping into fourth spot. You know, they lost to the Sharks earlier in the season. That was 66-0 over that Origin. And that might hurt them with the for and against. That might come back to bite them in the arse. But very impressive, mate. Hats off to the Broncos. They really come out firing. You know, they scored 4 tries in the first 20 minutes. But all of a sudden, Wolf went to his bench and Donoghue, Plath, Gilbert come on and just absolutely changed the game. You know, the amount of class that Plath has. You talk about a young forward getting picked in the Australian side. For mine, Plath certainly has to be in the side, especially if Yeo's not there and they'll be looking for another middle. He's just an out-and-out gun, mate. He's just got class written all over him. And Donoghue and Gilbert just dominated through the middle, and they were just simply too fast and too good for the Broncos as soon as they made those changes, mate.
Yeah, Max Plath, we talked only a few weeks back saying that is there potential for there to be a post-Origin fatigue to creep in. But, mate, he was so good. He came on and made a difference. Second half, there was one particular run where he really opened the game up when it was there to be won. Super impressive. You know, they've got strike power all over the park. I mean, Herbie didn't have one of his best games. He certainly wasn't awful, but then you get the Hammer steps up and do something crazy. Nicarima was good. Cobbo, outstanding, particularly in the first half. Like, they are going to scare some teams. There's still a genuine chance of finishing fourth, but then even if they finish fifth, you would expect them to win the first week of the finals in a canter. Then they get a team coming off the back of a tough qualifying final from one of those top four teams getting beat. They're going to be dangerous.
You're 100% right, mate. We've spoken with Will earlier in the year. You know, teams coming off a Penrith or a Warriors the next week traditionally lose again, right, just because they've come up against one of the best teams in the comp. And then, obviously, the Roosters aren't far behind that. So, regardless of who comes up against them, they're going to be coming back to the Dolphins with the assumption that they do finish fifth. Could quite easily win the first two and find themselves in a grand final qualifier. And then anything can happen on the big occasion. Someone gets a HIA, a referee gets a little bit happy with his 6 agains, and then all of a sudden the Dolphins get on a roll. So, look, uphill task. We know history gone by, you've got to finish in the top four. But if someone's going to have a bit of a dip, the Dolphins have certainly got the side to score the points. And the defence outside of that big, big game against the Sharks over Origin, the defence has been pretty bloody good as well. So, yeah, hats off to him, mate. Absolute impressive effort to get into the semi-finals, and congratulations to all the fans.
Absolutely. And regardless of how it unfolds this year, they'll be a massive threat for the title next year as these young guys keep improving. We just want to touch on a few games really quickly. I was wrong about the Dogs. I thought they were still a way off the pace, but that was quite an impressive performance and probably should have got the job done against the Roosters. The Roosters showing championship quality to not be at their absolute best, but come back and get the job done. Again, we talk about a team that's got class and X factor all over the park. That is them. It's good to see a guy like Billy Smith, who's had a run of injury. He was on the wing, but he was just tough. He's a tough player. So there's that one. I don't know if you wanted to add anything on that game, mate.
No, not really, mate. We'll talk a little bit about this weekend's game on the Wednesday episode, because the Bulldogs South, it really shapes as a must-win, obviously, for both. Whoever loses that is going to find it almost impossible. But, yeah, to Will's point, the Roosters are just finding a way to win, even though even when they're not playing at their best. Coming off that big win in Townsville, very impressive performance against the Dogs.
The Bunnies Eels game, I was talking to a South mate, and he texted me. He said, "Are you at the game?" And I said, "Actually, I've turned it off." And he's like, "You want to turn it back on again?" And we were both in agreement. The reason, like, with the urge to turn it off is not, well, we've both seen our teams lose heaps, right? As long suffering Para and South fans, but it's some of the refereeing decisions, like the one on half time where Sam Rani goes over and then drops the ball just short, where, well, I don't like the rule, but Jai Gray wraps his arms around him, tackles him in the air, and it's called play on. And it's like, if you're going to have these rules, which are tough to police anyway, at least be consistent with them. So that did my head in. We're a team that is still needs everything to go their way, and again, they just completed at a low level. And the second half, they complete high, 19 of 20 or something, and they nearly get the job done. So, yeah, anyway, that's me, my whinge about Para for the week. And then the it was a belter of a game Sunday, well, both games were, but the Raiders Knights. The Knights, again, showing that real quality that they haven't had previously, just getting the job done and doing enough when perhaps they weren't at their absolute best.
Yeah, they were impressive, mate. Obviously, brain explosion from Corey Horsburgh may have had an impact on the end with a kick at goal, etc. Could have put it into golden point. But certainly, you know, the Knights just continue to find a way to win. We look back at the last sort of 2 months of footy. They lost three games by 2 points over that Origin period, and a couple of them were from goal kicking. You know, that puts them into equal first if they had have won those three games. So puts in a perspective how good the Knights have been during this season. So I think sixth spot is probably a little bit light on for them. That's how well they've played. And then when you think Ponga's been out for parts of the season, Brown, Lucas, like, they haven't gone through and had a blessed run. So I'm bloody happy for their fans that they've made the eight. It's been a long time that the Knights have played this well consistently. And to make the eight for them is really appropriate. I hope they hold on to fifth or sixth spot. They should do, but I hope they do to give those fans a home semi-final, because the poor old Knights fans deserve it more than most with what they've been through over the last few years.
Absolutely, well said. Now, I think Gags must have heard me, because I said to him last week that maybe he needed to be a bit more bold and push some teams forward, and he's done exactly that this week, mate. What's he gone with?
Absolute scenes, mate, while he's putting the power rankings together. So we've finally seen a movement. The last month it's been locked in, but the Warriors are now number one on Jacob Gagan's power ranking. So after that performance against Penrith, they leapfrogged the Panthers into one. Penrith are at two, the Roosters down to three, and the Finns have leapfrogged the Sharks into fourth spot, with the Sharks hanging on to fifth. So very, very big changes, mate. And I think I've actually had a bit of a laugh with him around the Roosters. So if the Roosters beat the Panthers, he's going to drop the Panthers again. He's convinced. So he wants to see how they perform. But we could see another big shift in the power rankings again next week. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely, it will. And if we look at the Dolphins are more likely going to win, the Sharks have got a bit of a tough game against the Raiders, who have been good for the last 6 weeks, barring last week's hiccup. Yeah, it's very interesting times. And for us two neutrals in this semi-final race, it's going to be fantastic to watch.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. The last 4 weeks are going to change the top eight weekly and the top four, and then we are in for an absolute belting final series.
Absolutely. I'm going to drag my sorry ass out to Para on Saturday night to play the Cowboys who bounce back to form.
That will be a tough watch.
It can be, could be anything. Oh, very good. All right, well, that was a massive show, but there's been plenty happening. The football has been outstanding to watch, and Will had some fantastic stats and making up for a few missing weeks. So thanks for those of you who stuck with us. I hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to catching you all on Wednesday for the preview show. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers, Hulk.